Hey friend, welcome back. Today we're talking to Colleen. Colleen is an accountant with in-depth experience working with financial planning, analysis, budget preparation, and internal management reporting. Now, Colleen was not always an accountant. In fact, when she started her career, she thought she might go into Spanish, very different from the typical accounting skill set. But what Colleen found is that accounting is its own language, and she wanted to decipher it in the same way that you might decipher something in a different language. Now, Colleen really breaks down why accounting is not that different from learning a foreign language or learning how to communicate and share a story. She has a brilliant way of explaining her career to other folks who may not be in that same industry. And if you're someone who, you know, your faith is very important to you, then Colleen's story is really going to resonate because she shares a ton of wisdom of what she's learned along the way from the perspective of her Christian faith. Let's get into it because she's got a lot to share.
I love what you're doing with the Uncommon Career, because I feel like in general, we have like a lot of career paths that are like cookie cutters almost, and they're sold to us. And like, this is what you can do with this career. And so like one example is like with accounting, right? Like accounting is very cookie cutter. You go and do your undergrad and then you get your CPA and you go to, you know, the main core path is you go to like one of the big four or something like that. And then you can go in multiple different directions after that. Or maybe you make partner even and you decide to stay there. I don't know. There's just like a really hard line career path. But then there's like millions, however many, I don't know, of accountants that go in totally different directions. Like, yeah. Most of the accounting jobs out there are management accounting jobs, and they have nothing to do with traditional transactional accounting or the controllership type things or anything like that. So, I think it's really an important conversation to have with people in general.
Yeah.
What does it mean to build a career? Because you can't really trust, maybe trust is not the right word, but you can't just give your career over to someone else's hands. And when you're sold like a path, it's tempting to do that, right? Because especially coming in, like going into college or wherever your starting point is with your first job or something like that, it's like you see what others have done ahead of you. And to some extent, you're trying to copy that. And then especially like I'm thinking my own experience with college, it's like, this is the path you should take, you know, and you're thinking, oh, they know better because they're professors or they're counselors or they know what's going on in the market. But, you know, they're limited too. And so they can only sell you to some extent whatever they have available to them. But the market's constantly changing and evolving and the needs of businesses are always shifting around. And so, you know, they work really hard to try to keep on top of trends, but that's not always, you know, they can't always package it to like, now this is a trend, so let's package this into a career. It's like there's so many more options out there available before it can be packaged and sold somewhat as a like a product.
Oh, yeah. Especially with technology coming in and throwing all these curveballs into what, you know, education's great, but it takes so long. It's such a large ship to turn that when something new takes place, it takes years for education to come up with a new program to educate students in this new way of doing things. Like, okay, yeah, so you have this twist and turn. Keep going. Yeah.
So just to give you a little bit of an idea of where I'm coming from, I actually got my undergrad degree in Spanish. And, you know, getting my degree, I was thinking, I thought I was going to do like maybe interpreting or translating. And everyone along the way was like, you can take Spanish wherever you want to take it. You know, you can take it along with you, do whatever you wanted to. It's like a great major to have. But then when I graduated, I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many other things that I did not take into consideration pursuing Spanish. Cause really to make a career out of it, I really needed to just take it into interpreting and translating. And I guess I, for whatever reason, thought that I had more options than just that road. Mm. So anyways, I started pursuing that because I love Spanish and I want to be able to use it and build on what I started. Right. So, I went back into that and started investigating it, but really I found to really make some good money, you've got to be willing to take on some really stressful jobs.
Like what?
ERs, like a lot of times with doing, especially with interpreting, you're doing like emergency room type interpreting. And then you're in federal law cases, like, you know, they're like higher profile stuff or large, you know, you're doing tag teaming interpreting with larger like business conferences and things like that. And in general, interpreting is just mentally exhausting. Like you can only do it for a certain amount of time because you're hearing the language in one, you know, hearing one language and then simultaneously spitting out another language, just, you know, as fast as you can interpreting. And you can, people usually work in tag teams. So it's either, you know, it's a highly stressful thing. And I was like having some other things going on with my family where I wanted to be able to be there more. And I was like, I'm not going to have any brain or emotional space at all. Once I'm done with work, I'm going to be like spending all of this in my career and then have none of that for my family and what I want to build in that aspect. And I'm just going to be totally wiped. So that was what made me just take a step back and start reevaluating. And my mom, who always knows best, like, isn't that what they say? Like moms always know best. She always knows best. So I should have listened to her for the first time. She just always said that she thought I'd be great at accounting, but I could never like wrap my head around it. I was like black and white tax forms. Like I loved dance growing up and like sports and athletics and like creativity. Like that's part of the reason why I wanted to be in language. Cause I was like, I love people. I don't want to be dealing with forms and numbers and all this like cold, hard stuff. I want to be dealing with people.
You're saying so many interesting things to me right now. Like one piece that I'll come back to, you mentioned you felt like you needed to build on what you started, right? And it's that time to make a change. And then the other piece, and you can run with whichever one you want, but the other piece is that you are highly creative, but you're in accounting. And I think for some folks are going to be like, huh? Right. So like you take which route you want to go, because those are both very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll tackle the creative and the accounting piece. Cause I think that was the hardest thing for me to reconcile in the transition. Cause I was like, how am I going to build off this and what I want it and still be a people person? You know what I mean? Able to engage with people on teams and like, I don't know. I love people and I like interacting and I love being a part of a team. And like, how am I going to do that in accounting? I'm sure that they have their own version of teams, but there's a part of me that was just like, I don't know. I just see them behind a box in a cubicle pushing out forms. I don't know. That's just what I imagine. And I would think that most people think that to some extent. It's a very calculating job, right?
Yeah.
So I had trouble reconciling that. But because my mom was like, I think you should go back into it. And at the time, while I was having this whole transition, you know, God's good. He knows how to like order our steps. Because I just couldn't imagine it. And that was part of the problem, was I had trouble imagining the whole thing. So what I was imagining was like completely wrong. And that's why I couldn't step into it or figure out how to get there. But I had taken a part-time job as an office assistant or an office manager. It's for a small business. So you end up putting on all kinds of different hats. And I end up working with some of their books and their accountant, basically helping them with QuickBooks and stuff like that.
Okay.
And as I was doing that, I started realizing, I was like, oh my gosh, like this accounting is a language. It's just the language of business.
That's what it is. Wow. So explain that to me, to us. Yeah. Explain that to us.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, the accounting records are known as a book. They're the books, right? And that's, part of me was like, this is why they must call them books, because when you're looking at the financial statements and you're looking at these financial transactions coming in and out, you're basically putting a hard record to all the different like ups and downs and whatnot, like the wines and successes and failures that business is having. You're just not seeing it in language. You're seeing it in numbers, and you're having to learn to translate that language so that other people can understand it. And so for me, that was huge. And I felt like that was for me, something that like God really put on my heart. Like, this is not a world that's so far from you. Like I was envisioning a world that was so far away, and that was partly why I couldn't imagine it. And I felt like the Lord was like, no, this is you. Like, I can put you in whatever place I need to put you in and mold you into whatever. And like, the separations and the divides, I feel like that we picture are often much more of like a thin membrane than a wall, you know? And for me, it felt like a wall. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, this is just like, this is that thin membrane. It's just a different language. I was studying Spanish, but I love languages in general. Like you know, I actually loved picking up a little bit of Italian and Hebrew and dabbling in all these things. I'm like, why don't I just dabble in like accounting as a language? And I liked the structure as far as like, you know, one of my main concerns with interpreting and translating was that it was going to be so exhausting that I wouldn't have anything left for my family and what I wanted to build in that regard. And when I saw that accounting was, you know, that work-life balance was so much different. It was much more feasible and doable in many ways. So that's when I decided I was going to go study accounting. And of course, because I didn't get my undergrad in accounting, I went a little bit of a longer route. So I ended up getting my master's degree in accounting and doing some like making up for some of the undergrad pieces that I hadn't taken, which was a great experience. But then again, I ran into another roadblock because my goal while doing accounting or trying to study it was to try to find a job mm-hmm. that I was also doing the work too, right? So I was trying to find jobs that I would be doing accounting type work, which you can find. You know, they're not CPA level whatevers, you know, but they're a lot of budgeting jobs. And that's kind of where I started, was doing like budget and planning type stuff. So I ended up, and this was my strategy. I was like, I can't pay for grad school. And so I knew that I had friends who had paid for school by working at the university. And so I went back to the university and started trying to find jobs there. Ended up finding a job doing budgeting for one of the local departments there, mm-hmm. and then started exploring like what exactly I was going to do. And at this point, I wasn't quite sure if it was accounting in general or finances like instead, I ended up whittling it down to accounting because I felt like it was more versatile. Like if I went into finance, it was hard to go into accounting. But if I went into accounting, I could do accounting and finance if I wanted to.
Okay.
And for me, finance was like, after all my research and like taking a little course here and there, or, you know, I call people up and like just do like little interviews, phone interviews with them and just be like, hey, what do you do? What do you do? Like I'd have a like scripted set of questions and just ask them about it and try to get a feel for what do they do? Why'd they get into it? Do they like it? Do they wish they would have made different decisions? Like those kinds of conversations really helped me think through, okay, where's this person coming from? Can I relate to that? Is this something I think is going to be feasible? And that's why I ended up sticking to accounting, knowing that I'd have a little bit more flexibility in the future. And for me, that was another element of like, what happens if I hit another wall? Like I need flexibility.
Yeah.
And so, my other roadblock was once I decided on accounting, I was getting fed, like, you need to go get your CPA. You need to go, you know, work for the Big Four. But my problem was, like, I didn't go that traditional route. And so, one, to get your CPA, I was like, you really only need your CPA if you're going to sign audits. And I wasn't going to go into tax or audit. CPA is more like a, you know, certifications are really helpful, but sometimes I feel like there's just a little bit more marketing around them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's definitely a helpful component, like you need them. But then, like in this case, for example, I was like, I'm not doing anything that needs a CPA in my actual job. But I'm doing accounting type work. So I'm like, what work am I doing? You know, like it's accounting type work, but what work is it? Because it's not CPA work. What is that? Anyway, so that was a roadblock too. So it's like, I don't know that I want to get my CPA. I don't want to do tax and audit. I wanted to do the kind of work that I was doing, which was working more with planning and budgeting. And I was working on teams. And I was like, what is this? You know, I don't know what it is, but it is something.
And then it's got a name.
It's got a name. I'm working. I'm getting paid for it. So I ended up taking my cost accounting class. And in that class, we had a group come in with the Institute of Management Accountants, and they talked a lot about management accounting. And management accounting is such a large, it's just huge. Like most accounting jobs are probably management accounting jobs. And I started realizing that was the type of work that I was doing. It's like a bit of a hybrid between finance and accounting, because you're doing the forward planning, and accounting is usually just like you're making a record of what's already happened.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a hybrid with finance, because you're taking those records, and yes, you need to understand them, but you're taking those records and then using them to plan forward. So, you know, like I started realizing that, and I was like, this is amazing. Why didn't they tell me this before? You know, because I was getting this big push to CPA and do this traditional route. And then when I found the CMA, I was like, this is what I'm looking for. So that's when I end up looking into the CMA and trying to start getting my designation as a CMA. Yeah, so that was another roadblock that I like had to overcome to try to figure out, what is this thing? I can't put my finger on it. I know I'm doing it, but I can't put words around it. So it was like, it felt like the best kept secret. Once I finally figured it out, I was like, this is what it's called, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. It's taken a windy road and hitting it in a very, it has been an uncommon way to weave my career together.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find it so intriguing, this blending of like how you saw the creativity. You mentioned that the books are telling a story, essentially, right? Yeah. What it reminded me of, I had to look it up. I still couldn't find it. But in Breakfast at Tiffany's, there's a quote. Do you know that quote? That Sally Tomato. He's this guy who's in prison. Anyway, watch the movie, everybody. It's really good. But he's in prison. But Audrey Hepburn, she brings him her receipts. And he's in prison, but he's like, I like to look at her receipts because by looking at the receipts, you can really tell everything about a person's life. Like, it's just very like, you know, you paint the picture of what happens by seeing where the money goes. And I just thought that was interesting. So you have this career. You started with a very creative kind of, you know, communications. It's got a lot of flexibility, a lot of creativity in it. And then you know, made your way over, you got a master's in accounting, which, you know, just side note here, so many folks think I can't get a master's in accounting because I didn't get a bachelor's in accounting, or I can't get a master's in counseling because I didn't get a bachelor's in counseling. There's a limited number of programs where the master's degree is literally tied to the bachelor's. This is like engineering, maybe some forms of engineering, but also architecture and et cetera. But outside of that, so you find these winding roads, you had to kind of be a little scrappy to be like, it's not CPA, but there's got to be something else. And then you found CMA. So since that point, even before that point, like there was a moment where you had to, that was my prior question, where you had to let go of what you've quote unquote built on.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that moment really quick where there's this hesitation to go in a different direction because you feel you have to start over. Now, looking back, do you feel like you truly started over, or do you feel like you were able to pull some of that in?
You know, I feel like wholeheartedly that I was building on it all along. And I guess that was really my aim, I guess, the whole time. Like that was one of my anchors, I guess. Like I did not want to move off of that. So I was like, I worked really hard to get through my undergrad degree and then pay off my undergrad degree.
Yeah.
You know, like, really hard, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. I was like, I am going to use this skill set somehow. And I may not, there are times where like every once in a while I might speak Spanish or whatever, but it's like rare, few and far between. Like, I just don't need that main skill set, but I learned how to learn languages, and learning a language, anyone who's ever learned a second language as an adult, like it is a learning experience on how to learn in general and how to communicate. And there's a number of different elements that I brought into my, the way that I tackle problems and problem solving, and the way that I tell stories in general and communicate, which that's at the heart of what I do, is tell stories all the time. So like right now, my current position is a financial analyst, and really the main focus is I'm working on a couple different things, but some of it's like, we're looking at process management, production for the team. Is it effective? Are they meeting standards? How is management going to be able to actually assess and know where weak points are and be proactive about, you know, how do we see that? How do we pull that out? And then how do we measure it? And then how are they going to be able to respond in a proactive way that can support their team before maybe, you know, they miss a performance indicator, right? Like those kinds of things. And you're working with numbers, but you're all behind all those numbers. They're just a way, like the Breakfast at Tiffany's example. It's like, who's behind? Who generated that number? What's going on with your team? Like, you have to work with groups of people. You can't just look at the numbers. You have to know the story behind it to be able to actually pull out what's going on. And a lot of those skill sets for me, like that came from learning languages and loving people and understanding cultures and trying to figure out how to navigate the different dynamics between cultures and kind of, you know, the pitfalls that come with the miscommunications between cultural mm-hmm. differences, things like that too.
Oh, so I definitely feel like I said so much.
Yeah.
Like there's so many things that I'm like, oh man, this is so good. Where do I even begin? This whole connection, I always, you know, I used to teach at a college and then at a university, or at a university and then a college. And there's this circle that on the circle are placed every single one of the disciplines, philosophy, communications, mathematics, engineering, right? And you can draw a line from any one discipline to all the others. And I think so often we get stuck in this silo of math major, engineering major, and you know the nitty gritty, you know the detailed formulas, and that's great. That to me, I call it a knowledge base. You know the formulas, but the skill set at the core, we're all really learning the same skills and we're just kind of leaning one way or another. If you think about communication, you're looking at patterns, you're taking a 5,000 foot view and saying, there's so many small pieces here, words, consonants, sentence structure, right? Like ways of communicating, adjective, adverbs. You're stepping to this 5,000 foot view and you're looking at it to find the patterns. And that's that whole learning process, right? Where now when you look at the books, right, the accounting and the finances of it all, you're looking for, guess what, patterns. And it's, I feel like we often miss those big picture skill sets and how easily we can transfer them and use them for new areas because we're so focused on the more detailed things, right? Like the formulas and are you talking in words or are you talking in numbers and right? And all of that knowledge base. So I'm so glad to hear that it's like you said, you were learning a new language, but with numbers.
Yeah. And I think it's just too easy to discount yourself in the process of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's why, yeah, our education system tends to silo these pieces of knowledge, right? Like that knowledge base, they tend to silo that. And I agree wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. different cultures in general, like the Hebraic culture and stuff like biblical times. Like that's not really the way it was presented. Like the way God created everything is like everything points to him. So it's all interlinked to some extent. Mm. The more you learn about things, the more you begin to find that you are smaller than you think and that something else is bigger at the root of it. And so everything's interlinked, you know, like they're every discipline, every piece of creation, every piece of knowledge that we would have, mm-hmm. it's meant to declare the glory of God somewhere. And that is the ultimate story, right? Like he is the ultimate story. And so to think that all these little knowledge bases are siloed, it's not really practical. In my mind, like as a believer, when I think about mm-hmm. that, it's a way that we discount pieces of ourself, you know, mm-hmm. and I think we are much more creative as individuals and have much more of a capacity than what we believe we do just because we're simply created in the image of God. And so when you're going from one discipline to another discipline, it's not like you have to shut down some part of yourself and start all over from scratch. Like mm-hmm. there is a piece of you that built something, and on that foundation, you're still able to build and continue on. And just because it looks different doesn't mean, you know, it's something completely, you know, that it discounts your foundation, I guess, right? Like it's not something completely new. You still are building on the same foundation you built. There's one thing that happened. This happened in an art class once, and I always remember this because this is something that really stuck with me. It's something my mom did. I was working in college, my undergrad degree. I took a ceramics class and I was trying to build this little like vase thing.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be like what they call a slab project. So I made all the slabs and I'm like piecing it together, making kind of a little bit of an abstract vase. And as I'm doing it, it was like an all-nighter. Our family had been going through all kinds of like crazy things, and I had saved all these projects until the last minute. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mom, can you come in and help me just put together some of these tiny pieces of this thing so I can make sure that I get all the my projects into the kiln the night before my finals, right? Like my evaluation. So she came into the ceramics lab with me late that night, and she was helping me cut certain pieces so that I could then assemble them and put them together all night, spent all night doing it. And then the last bit, I picked up this particular vase on the board, and I'm going to go walk it over to the shelf to go get fired the next morning. And as I walk over, it fell and it just smashed all over the ground. I was like in tears. I was so upset because I was like, everything I had envisioned and built and spent all this time, last minute, I have no more time left. I don't know what I'm going to do. And my mom, who is a very creative artist, she was just like, just let it go. You cannot think of it this way. You have to pick it back up. We're going to take what's left and we're going to just keep building with it. And so she did. She helped me reimagine what I was supposed to do with this so that I could finish it. And I think that as an artist in general, like that's what you do with your mistakes. And I think that's what God does with our mistakes, quote unquote, mm-hmm. right? Works things around for our good. We go one route and things we feel like get destroyed, but he's the one that brings life from death. Like that's just what he does. He's a redeemer and he brings life from death. And what we think is a death oftentimes is just another open door to new life. Right. And and that's built on that, even in our careers and how we're planning things. And I think it gives an opportunity for God to be much more creative through us than what we would have envisioned otherwise.
Okay, that was awesome. I don't even like that story of how, yeah, I mean, that you don't start from scratch again. You build on it, but more of just, you just like completely, I'm going to have to edit a piece of this out because I'm just like wrapping my head around what you just said, like this. That was so good.
I love it when my mom, like, you know, I told you, mom always knows best. She knows how to help pick you up, you know, like, and help you put all the pieces back together. And I'm like, that's what you need. And Patricia, that's what you're helping people do with their careers too. You're helping them re-envision what they're doing. They feel like they have something broken. Mm-hmm. And come in. And that's why I'm like, when I saw what you're doing, sorry, I'm tearing. Because I'm like, when I saw what you're doing, I'm like, this is what people need. Like, I wish I had this so much earlier on, like someone to be like, no, you have what you need to make it to the next step. You still have it. You feel like it's crushed and on the ground broken, but it's not. And you think all these things are a waste, but it's not. Like you are going to rebuild, and you were not just rebuild, like you have all the pieces with you. You just have to reconstruct a little bit. You know, you're so much further along than what you think you are.
That's so good. You're like making me emotional. Just, I'm like trying to keep it together. I'm trying, but it's true, you know, and it goes beyond even career. It presents itself so much in our careers because we're evaluated in interviews and we have to go and try and get the job and be told if we're good enough to get the job, right? And all that stuff. But it's this idea that like, even if you're broken, like that's okay. Like that's okay. You have value. Like there's so much. I think sometimes we think, especially with things like layoffs, you know, there've been so many layoffs recently and there's this grieving process, I call it, this like sense of I lost at the game. I wasn't good enough to be kept, you know, and it digs in so much deeper than just your pay. And I feel like in those moments, it gets to our self-confidence, our identity, like it gets to all those things to where we then start to look for something and we settle because like you said, we think we only have the broken pieces. But it's like that process of obviously, you know, going through the emotions and allowing yourself to go through the emotions, but then seeing the Legos, right? The Legos have been dumped out. There's pieces on the floor. It's a mess, right? Like it's just a mess. But you can go through and pick all those pieces up and build something beautiful and something completely different. And it still, it just needs to be reassembled, right? And the skills are still there. And you can go into, like you said, a career that for someone who was in communications, right? One of the most creative avenues is going to go into what people think is one of the least creative avenues, right? And I just think that's, I don't know, I think that's a beautiful thing to acknowledge that and to remind people of that, that like you said, the world is so much bigger than we think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
There's so many more options than what we see in the moment. And then what is being portrayed at the moment too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like, I think it's really easy to just listen to like the quote unquote experts, you know, like, and it's helpful. Like you need those, you need that input to some mm-hmm. extent. Need their perspective because they get to dedicate their time to figuring things out and knowing what's available. And you need those inputs, but that you just need to know you're not, that's not a limit. Just because you're getting those inputs of like, this is the current state of what you're seeing available or an opportunity yeah. or the kind of people that fit certain roles mm-hmm. or best fits or, you know, like those are helpful inputs and guidelines, but they're not limits. And I think that's really, it's more of a membrane. It's not the wall. Like it's much more of a thin, tackleable barrier than what it really seems to be.
That's so good. And you mentioned, right? Like when someone says, this is the way to go, you see it as an opportunity. Okay, well, this is the way to go. But at the same time that you see it as an opportunity, you're sort of closing the door on all the other ones before you actually see what's available.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much wisdom. So good. Okay. So I don't want to keep you for too long. I'm looking here at the time and I'm like, wow, we've been really like having some amazing conversation for a while. But you know, it just seems like a lot of what you've learned can be so helpful for so many people who wake up one morning and just realize kind of this, how did I get here? You know, like I don't know when I took a turn that led me to a job that is just a job and that maybe it's not the most exciting job for me, right? With all the wisdom that you've learned through your career turns and twists, what would you share? What advice or encouragement would you give them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, what comes to mind first, you know, working in the financial realm, mm-hmm. Really easy to be able to, you know, when you're thinking of finances and like where you want to be financially, right? It's really easy to first take a step back and then take a look at your numbers. And you look at all the things that you failed at, how small your savings account is versus how big something else is with some debt or expense or whatever. Like you see some, you may have paid off some debt. You may have seen some successes. You may see a larger savings account in there. Maybe mm-hmm. you didn't make that investment you wanted. You know, like you start looking at the numbers and you see all the little successes and failures and stuff mm-hmm. along the way. But, and it's tempting to look there first when you're evaluating something. But really what you need to be doing is looking at where do you want to be going? Like what picture are you trying to paint? Like what is your strategic goal? Because some of those things may be good or bad, but in light of what, like, what do you compare it to?
Mm.
You know? And so when you're evaluating something financially, it's much often wiser to start with where are you going? What are your strategic goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Right. Mm-hmm. And then take the numbers and start measuring them up against that so that you can actually make some progress on what do I need to change? How do I adjust that? And I think that same framework in some way is what we need to do. And even in our careers, it's like, you may feel those numbers and those hard facts of like, I don't like this job. This is mm-hmm. what doing and I don't like to, you know, I don't enjoy this work and somehow I'm here and I don't feel like I have a purpose. Well, then I think the first step is to take that step back and take that time to be like, what is my purpose? What am I trying to build? What do I want out of these things? And like trying to get that vision.
Yeah.
You know, even the Bible says that, you know, we perish for our lack of vision. And I think finding yourself in that moment is you're feeling something die and you're not sure why it's dying. Mm. You're like, why am I at a standstill? Why is this dying? Well, it's more often than not, you maybe don't have a vision, or maybe you had a vision, but you put it down because you thought you couldn't accomplish it. And so you took another route. And
say that one more time.
Yeah, like you need to have a vision for where you're going, and maybe whether, you know, maybe you never had one and you have to get one and start articulating that, or maybe you have had one and a vision, mm-hmm. but you had to lay it down and you took a different route that you maybe didn't prefer, you know, but because you thought that that wasn't an option for you. And then now you begin to feel unsatisfied and feeling like you're not where you wanted to be. Well, because that was your vision, you know? And so sometimes getting a vision is going back there and say, how do I wind my way back? And then remembering, like, it's not too late. It's not, there's always a creative solution to something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an element of surrendering your expectations. Cause I think, like I was even saying in my vision for things, part of what my barrier was, is I just couldn't imagine what was possible. And so there's a part of like surrendering your expectations in that process of like what you think or what you want it to look like. If it's your vision, then you need to like almost like let it go somehow and then just start working toward it.
Ah, like, so good.
Know all the tactical pieces. You just have to let it go and then just start working toward it. And then as you begin to work toward it, you begin to maybe get a little more clarity around what things might actually look like, and you can have a more clear imagination. And I think sometimes it's just too easy to lay something down because you can't see it clearly, or someone's telling you it's practical or whatnot. You know, like sometimes you need to just take some steps forward toward those things, especially if you're in a place where you're feeling like, this is not where I want to be. You need to kind of go back to that place.
I love that. As you're talking, what comes to mind is like a circle. That's our circle of knowledge, our circle of experience, what we know. And we place our dot there, not knowing that maybe God intended our dot to be outside that circle, and our circle just hasn't grown big enough for us to see it. And yeah.
That's great.
I mean, as you're talking, it just paints such a clear picture that we can't hang on to an expectation. Like you said, you've got to surrender your expectation, because like you said earlier, all this wisdom you're pouring out, the world is so much bigger than we think it is, much more so than we thought it was when we first started our careers.
Yeah. And that line is usually a self-drawn line.
Mm-hmm.
Some self-drawn line, or a line drawn by others' expectations, somehow, whatever's informing it, we've drawn the line ourselves and we've put ourselves in the middle of it. And really what we need to be, instead of operating on our own understanding, which is that line, we need to be operating on God's line, which is much bigger and much wider with a lot more possibility, and not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways, you know, acknowledge him in all our ways so that he can direct our paths. And he begins to open doors and help navigate things that you may not have seen possible otherwise.
That's so good, Colleen. I want to keep you here for hours and hours and hours, but I'm sure you've got some places to be and some people to talk to. But imagine for a second, because you've already shared so much wisdom, imagine now that a million people are listening to this right now, and you've got about a minute to share something with them. What would you share?
Uncomfortable. And the only way I think you can do that is being secure in and who God is and what that means to you, because you're going to face all kinds of self-identifying questions along the way. Who are you? Why are you here? Why are you even daring to try to do this? Why are you, you know, like, you don't deserve this. You don't, whatever it happens to be, like, you're going to face everything and more than what you thought, trying to pursue a vision and a dream for your life. And trying to figure out how your career interweaves with that, because a vision in your dream in your life is much bigger than just your career.
Yeah.
You interweave your career with all of these other things. And that's a very challenging journey to be on. So that would be my one thing, is know who you are by knowing who your creator is and knowing who God is in that process, and having a safe place like him to run back to.
So good. So good. Colleen, thank you so much for spending time with us and hanging out with us. It was a blast.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Is there anything that you want to share as far as people connecting with you or anything like that?
Yeah, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I've got a profile on there. I've also got a small business that I am starting up that helps small business owners learn to think about strategic plans and goals and connect their money goals, their cash flow management, their day-to-day cash flow management to their strategic goals. So we talk about like losing a vision and trying to figure out where you're going. There's a lot of small business owners out there that get started. They have a vision. They love what they do, but money is not one of them. They're just like, now I've got to untangle the money piece and try to figure out where I'm going. And money is like really the engine. It touches all the pieces, aspects of your business. So really learning how to manage cash flow and then tie it to your strategic goals. That's what I try to help small business owners with. So you could reach me at strategicmoneycoach.com is my website. And then we also have a Facebook group. You can search Strategic Money Coach on there as well.
Awesome. Gosh, it was great talking with you today. I appreciate all the insight you've shared. And for everybody listening, thank you guys for joining us. We're so happy you're here with us. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you on the next one.